Book Nook on WISO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Good morning. Welcome to the Best of the Book Nook on WISO. Do you ever dream that you can fly? Well, Albert Taylor did, and he did a lot. And he really got into studying astral projection. In 1994, he self-published a book called Soul Traveler, A Guide to Out-of-Body Experiences. 6 years later, after it sold and sold and sold as a self-published title, it was picked up by a major publisher. He came through Dayton on book tour, and I did an interview with Al Taylor about his fascinating life story and about astral projection. Have you ever dreamed you can fly? I have. It's fun, isn't it? Let's listen now to the Best of the Book Nook with Soul Traveler by Albert Taylor.
I've been having something strange happen to me most of my life, ever since, I'd say it's from the age of 5 years old. I'm 42 now. And that thing starts off, that thing that has been happening to me is called night paralysis. And that's where you go to sleep maybe about 10 o'clock or so, and you wake up a few hours later, 2 or 3 hours later, in the bed, very alert. You can see and hear, but you're incapable of moving your physical body. A lot of people have problems with this. My grandmother used to say that the witches were riding you, that because you were bad, that's why you can't move at night. So she had a great bedside manner, needless to say. And that fear stuck with me for most of my life and was a major hurdle that I had to overcome regarding this phenomenon. But about 7 years ago, it went from happening once a week to several times a week and sometimes three times a night. And I started documenting it because I am a researcher, a scientist. I started documenting it, and that's exactly what my book is. It is my diary, and when I was writing it, I had no intention of showing it to anyone because I was just keeping the documentation for myself.
And the book consists of various incidents. It seems like
right.
A lot of them are a week or two apart, where you talk about preparing to go to sleep or going to sleep and having these experiences.
Right.
And this paralysis thing, I myself am not aware of ever having that happen to me, but I have had lots of dreams where I'm flying or floating, and that seems to be a component in what's going on with you.
Right. There are multiple elements to it. Not all of them manifest at the same time. With me, I seem to get all of the above. I have flying dreams or lucid flying experiences. I have the night paralysis. I get the buzzing, a loud buzzing sound when this is occurring. I also get a loud roaring sound sometimes. My body also goes into like a vibratory state where I feel as if I'm oscillating, like it's a little, like an earthquake. I get that. And this is the part that really scared me more than anything in the world, is sometimes I hear my name being called. And there's a lot of people are having that experience also. It can be very frightening if you don't know what it is.
My guest is Albert Taylor. The book is Soul Traveler, A Guide to Out-of-Body Experiences and the Wonders Beyond. After you wrote this book, you self-published it.
Correct.
And apparently, thousands of copies later, it was picked up by a big publisher, and you must have worked very hard to get the word out when you were distributing it yourself.
Definitely. What I did is I tried to get speaking engagements in every type of book store environment I could, and I never canceled at all. Even if there were one person there, I would definitely do a full-blown lecture for just one person, because it wasn't about quantity to me. I feel that the message and calming the fears of a lot of people that are having this experience was precedent over any other thing like quantity and book sales and all that, because I felt that the word itself was going to carry the book through whatever type of sales figures or support that I needed. So I think the word was so important, and that's really why the book did so well, and the fact that I never, ever canceled also.
Now, you self-published it, and you sold 35,000 copies before it was picked up by Dutton.
Right. And I rewrote the book. The book has been rewritten. I rewrote it for Dutton, so I added a lot of things that were happening. I get letters from pretty much all over the world, so people ask me all kinds of questions. So I got a chance to answer a lot of those questions in this book. And I personally feel that it's well-rounded, and it has a lot to offer that the other book didn't have, because at the time I wrote the other book, which was 4 years plus ago, I was having the experiences, but I didn't quite understand the experiences. And here it is, five years later or so, I have definitely a lot of clarity on what has happened, and that's what I've offered in this Dutton book.
Now, Al, I'm sure in the intervening time since you first put the book out, you've run into your share of people who are skeptical and say, no way, guy's making this stuff up. What would you say is the percentage of people just in the general public who have had these experiences or are open to the idea that this is something that really happens?
I'd say there's a good 30% that have a very clear recollection or recall of some kind of phenomenon that they can't explain, especially the night paralysis. And there's some other offshoots that I mentioned about the vibration and the loud noise and things like that. Now, what I've also found is that when I'm in a room, let's say with 100 people, I can ask questions regarding the hearing the vibration and feeling paralyzed or flying in your dreams and all that, and it goes up to about 60 to 70%. Of people are having these experiences. Now, the rest of them that haven't had any of these symptoms, it still doesn't mean that they can't have one, because I know a woman that spent all her life, well, 42 years of age, and she hadn't had any experience at all. And after reading my book, she went over a few of the techniques that I listed in there, and at 42, for the first time in her whole life, she had a spontaneously controlled out-of-body experience. So it could happen to anybody, even if you don't have all the symptoms that I talked about previously.
Al, I'm going to put myself in the place of someone who has just tuned into this program, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. They've never heard of the book. They've never heard of you, and they're saying to themselves right now, what's the point? Why does someone want to do this?
Well, the thing, you know, first of all, it's not something I set out to do. It was happening to me without me wanting it to, and it was terrifying me. So my motive originally was to find out if what was happening to me. In first place I went was to the doctor. I went to a neurologist, I went to my regular doctor, I had MRIs done, because I wanted to rule out any type of psychological neurological problem or something like that. Now, also, it's happening to a lot of people in my family, so I figured the chances of all of us having some kind of neurological defect was very slim. And then when I started talking to people who I wasn't related to at all and they were having it, I realized that it was something definitely not a malfunction or a disorder, but something that was just unknown. Now, the effect that it's had on me and the reason that really motivates me to do that is because it has changed my understanding of myself profoundly, and some of the things that I think a lot of people suffer with, like fear of death, that kind of thing, has totally left me, because I truly know through these experiences, and an experience brings knowing, not a belief, but a knowing, I truly know beyond a shadow of a doubt, which brings me incredible amount of peace, that I will consciously survive death. So I have absolutely no fear of death, and what that does, because I didn't plan any of this, but what that does is it frees me up to think, well, if I am this eternal spirit And I came down here to live life and have these lessons or live this short period of time here in the physical, and I will consciously survive afterwards, then the life that I'm here living has to be very, very important in some kind of way. And that's what I focus on, is the life that I live, and it's changed my relationship to people, it's changed my relationship to my loved ones. I have now I have more loving relationships than I ever thought probable. Spiritually, there's just certain things that I don't experience anymore, like anger, lack of tolerance, that kind of a negative thing I just don't experience anymore, because I truly know that I am spirit, and I realize that spirit is has a greater responsibility and potential than the human emotions that we suffer from.
Albert Taylor has joined us. He's the author of a book called Soul Traveler, A Guide to Out-of-Body Experiences and the Wonders Beyond. Al, I look at you and I look at your resume, what I can see in the liner of the book, and I say to myself, this book is truly a spiritual document, and yet you come from a very scientifically based background, and often these are two different roads.
Right.
Tell us about your background as a scientist and what you're doing now.
Well, you know, and this is what's interesting about this whole phenomenon is, so even though I was having the night paralysis all my life, 7 years ago, if you had told me I'd been talking about this or that, what did I think about this kind of phenomenon, I would have thought you were nuts. I wouldn't have believed it, because I've always, first of all, I've been educated in an area where if you couldn't measure it or weigh it, they pretty much, it doesn't exist. But I am an engineer scientist, and I have had a secret clearance for the last 20 years. I have been involved in some of America's top classified programs, everything from I helped design the stealth fighter to the B-1 bomber to President Reagan's SDI program, Strategic Defense Initiative, or Star Wars program. I've also been involved in Global Positioning Satellite System program, which a lot of people are becoming more familiar with that. Those satellites help direct our boys in Desert Storm. I've also been a designer on the International Space Station, which is so going to be launched hopefully later on this year. And I've also trained astronauts at Johnson Space Center on how to repair the space station on orbit in case of a micrometeorite penetration, and which would be a life-threatening situation. So I have this extremely scientific and mechanical background, and then when I would leave that environment and go home at night, then I would have this totally unreal, beyond belief, spiritual, non-physical experience that I had to keep separate, even though I was, you know, I'd come home and sometimes I would lose a night's sleep because of the experiences were so frightening to me. And then the next day I'd fly to Johnson Space Center and have to train astronauts. And I didn't, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody else having these experiences, because I think that it would have definitely hindered my performance at work and maybe even damaged my credibility to some extent. But and that's why I documented my experiences, just because I wanted to keep a record for myself. I had no idea that this thing would become some kind of phenomenon and that I would be talking to literally to the world about it.
Now, Al, I'm going to presume now that the book is out for everybody to see that you've left that life behind you?
Yes. I left 4 years ago when the first book came out. When I self-published Soul Traveler, I left 4 years ago, and a friend of mine told me that, Al, if you work this hard for your book and your own life, as hard as you do for the government, then you're bound to be successful. And that's how I took it, and that's exactly what I did. I got on the road, and no one knew who I was, and I would speak at little tiny places all over the place, but it built up momentum, and it just took off, and it's been doing very well ever since.
That takes a tremendous amount of courage to take a step with it like that in your life, doesn't it?
A tremendous amount, because I've been in aerospace, you know, for a long time, all my life. That's what I was educated in. And to turn my back on that, a lot of people that I needed the support, at least I wanted the support from, pretty much thought I was nuts. Even my wife ended up divorcing me because she thought I was crazy for leaving aerospace, trying to pursue this out-of-body thing or talk about this book. So, yeah, it challenged me in every way you could possibly think of, and it got me to the point where the only thing that carried me through, which I thank God, was my faith in these experiences that I knew in my own reality that they were very, very real.
Now, Al, reading the book, and it's basically like reading your diary, and you talk about all these experiences that you're having in your dreams and where you're going and how you get there and how you come back. It seems to me from reading the book that your wife at that time was pretty cooperative with you, and you had some pretty good agreements about what was going on.
Right. Well, she understood that I was having some type of experience. Whether she thought it was a valid or a dream, I don't know, because things changed after it profoundly started changing me. So as long as I was getting up and going to work every morning, I think it was okay, because it hadn't really disrupted our lives to that point. But then after I started having more and more of these experiences, and it had a profound change on my personality, I think for the better, that's when we started having difficulty, and that's when there was a distance growing between us. And then she even began to say things like, I don't know who you are anymore, my husband died, I want my old husband back.
Did she think that you were
type of thing.
Did she think you were getting involved with a cult or something?
No. To tell you the truth, it was more because it wasn't more cultish. It was just that I changed. It's like certain things that we used to do, like maybe bickering and arguing, or just maybe when I wanted to prove I was right because I thought I knew more than she did. All of those things ceased, and I no longer struggled. I no longer argued. I became a very compassionate, tolerant, and understanding person. And you would think that would solidify a marriage, but it really broke us apart.
She missed the arguments.
She missed the arguments and the drama. She missed all of that chaos.
Oh my! You have so many different examples in the book of your travels, and why don't you give them some idea of how this took place and some of the things that happened while you were doing it?
Well, in the beginning, I had no idea what it was, first of all. I hadn't heard of astral projection at that time. I didn't even know what astral meant. I thought it was astro, like the dog on the Jetsons. I didn't know it was astral, which is means of the stars. So originally when it started, I thought it was this something wrong with me, but the way it manifested was really very, very strange. I would awaken in the middle of the night, and I would hear this loud buzzing sound. It was almost deafening. And then in some cases, I would hear a loud roaring sound as if there were a windstorm going off in my head. Then it would progress to this vibration that I would feel surge all over my body while I was laying there. And then suddenly, I felt as if my legs or a portion of me was beginning to move and float upward. Felt almost like my body had become a balloon, a humanoid-shaped balloon filled with helium. That's the best way I can describe it. And then the strangest thing that told me that there was a lot more going on than just a dream or anything is that I would find myself floating above the bed, and I could see my body. and I could also see the room very, very clearly. And I wear glasses, and I know if I take off my glasses and look at the room would be very blurry. But I knew that the room was very, very clear, and I knew I hadn't fallen asleep with my glasses on, so this told me that something else was going on. And then, so what I would do is I would just keep my excursions or my experiments in traveling very localized. I would go to the next room in the house, or I would move around in the house, and in some cases I would actually float up through the wall or touch the wall, and eventually I found myself, which was amazing, is hovering above the house, looking at a beautiful star-filled sky, thinking to myself, this is incredible, and what are we? Because I didn't think of it as just me. What are we that we can do these incredible things? So, and even at that point, I thought, is this may or may not be a dream? The thing that really convinced me more than anything that it was not a dream is that I would finally, when I got brave enough, I would pick a friend's house that I hadn't been to physically and actually fly or journey to their house astrally or out of body. And when I arrived at the house, the one that was very that had a major impact is I have a friend of mine that is married, and when I arrived at their bedroom, I noticed that she and her husband didn't sleep in the same bed, and that he slept way on the other side of the room. And also, she had something on her leg that she slept with, and I thought to myself, it looked like a cast. At least that's what I thought it was. But later, when I saw her physically, I said to her, I said, you know, I had this experience, and I want to ask you a question, a couple questions. I said, do you and your husband sleep in two separate beds? And she said, yes, he has sleep apnea, and he sleeps on the other side of the room. And I said, also, I said, did you injure your leg, or do you ever sleep with something on your leg? And she told me, yes, I have arthritis, and I sleep with a heating pad wrapped around my leg. So to me, I thought that was far more than just a dream and far more than just a lucky guess that I was able to identify that perfectly. And from that point on, I would try to repeat the experiment by going to other friends' houses that I hadn't been to and recalling as much as I possibly could at what I saw. And what I found out later is every time I was 100% right. So that kind of clarified it for me and let me know that this was something far more than just a lucid dream.
The majority of the book talks about your experiences in a diary form,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of this takes place in 1994.
Right.
And you've also written some pieces at the end. You have a chapter 10 called Pre-Flight Preparations, where you really kind of bring it all together and explain a lot of the techniques that you've used that have worked for you.
Right.
One that I found very interesting was the interrupted sleep technique. Now,
mm-hmm.
what makes this so effective?
The interrupted sleep technique, in my opinion, is worth its weight in gold. It is something that works about 8 out of 10 times for me, and I've tried it on other people, and they've had an incredible amount of success with that. What I found out is I was having these experiences on nights where I couldn't sleep very much. I would sleep very heavily at first and then wake up in the middle of the night and get up sometimes with, you know, mild case of insomnia, stay up for a couple hours, and then go back to bed. And then all of a sudden, I'd find myself slipping in and out of this paralysis and having all of these incredible experiences. So what I found out is that normally when we go to bed at night on the average, we sleep very heavily, and the consciousness and the body slip into a REM or a heavy dream state. But if you interrupt the sleep pattern and then break it up like I did into two parts and stay up for about an hour not exercise, and you don't want to wake up, but you just want to get up. You want to wake up but not be very, very alert or active, go back to sleep. What happens is the body still requires about 4 more hours of sleep. And if you lay perfectly still and relax as much as possible, the body will quickly fall asleep. And so for some reason, the consciousness would stay around and become not just alert, but at a superconscious level. It's the same thing that if you've ever been tired and you've been driving a long distance, and for a brief second you kind of nod out just for a second. I mean, it's dangerous, but it's that same thing that when you nod out for a second, you still have your consciousness is still there, but the body seems to shut down. And that's what the interrupted sleep technique allows you to do. It allows you to induce that kind of state where the body shuts down and actually falls asleep, but the consciousness stays awake. And that's when you're at the doorstep of having an out-of-body experience.
Well, that helps me understand some of the artwork of Salvador Dali. He used to take naps. He would sit in a chair, and he would hold a spoon in his hand, and he would fall asleep, and the spoon would hit the ground and wake him up.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just have that little brief second of sleep where he claimed he felt totally refreshed.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you'd mentioned Salvador Dali, because he is my favorite surrealist.
Oh.
And I'm in the Ritz-Carlton right now, and right next door is a Salvador Dali museum that I'm dying to go to, where they have all kinds of his works and melting clocks and all that hanging on the wall.
I'd say you have a connection going there, Al.
I say so, too, definitely. And you know what's interesting about this also is I'm an artist, too. And I drew the first cover of my first book, and I'm a surrealist. And a lot of my pictures and drawings that I've done have come from my dreams. So that's an interesting thing that you even brought that up.
Well, Al, I didn't know a thing about that. So it's
I know.
Just one
I haven't
of those,
written about it either.
It's one of those psychic things, I think.
Is that what it is? Well, it's very in tune then.
Al Taylor has joined us in the pre-flight preparation section at the end. You bring a lot of thoughts together, and it's really clear that you have found a lot of peace and well-being through your experiences. You start the chapter off with an anonymous quote or an unknown quote where you say, when we realize our thoughts create our future experiences, then looking within ourselves for happiness becomes our only recourse.
Right.
That is such a wise thing to say. You say further on in the book, our everyday thoughts are all too often generated by the things we fear. For example, fear of being alone, penniless, homeless, jobless, and loveless, just to name a few. These fears have a profound effect on the actions and decisions each of us must choose in the course of our everyday lives. It is because of these fears that we either spring into action when none is needed or fail to take action when we know we should. We're all very afraid, aren't we?
Yes, tremendously afraid. And that's why I have really dedicated my life to sharing this information as much as possible, because it has helped me conquer so many fears that I've had about my future, about that unknown future that was impending. And it has helped me live such a wonderful, peaceful life, and I affect the people that come in contact with me because of this wonderful, peaceful position that I come from. And if I can share this with one person out there and their lives change to the point where they also experience this inner peace, then to me, that is what it's all about. That is what I've come here for. And luckily, I can honestly say that not only have I affected one person, but I believe I have affected thousands of people.
You've been listening to the Best of the Book Nook on 91.3 WYSO, community-owned public radio for curious listeners. That was Al Taylor. His only appearance on the program for his only book, Soul Traveler, A Guide to Out-of-Body Experiences. He self-published it in 1994. 6 years later, it had been reissued by a major publisher after he sold thousands of copies as a self-published author. And as far as I can tell, that is his only book. And he's still out promoting it from what I can tell on Google. And what a story. Didn't you just love his descriptions of his old job, training astronauts and doing things like that? I wasn't too excited about his designing of horrible weapons, but wow, what an amazing story. Al Taylor with Soul Traveler on the Best of the Book Nook. Thanks for listening.